ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Now, this is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show is right here upon us at 500 Golf Center in Beaumont, Texas, in the 409, where we're having a good old time and everybody's talking about everything that's going on in sports and otherwise. We're going to be here till 4. Fred Fowler and Henry Thomas, going to take you all the way till 7 right here. Lots of opportunities for you guys to get involved, hit some golf balls, have some fun, listen to the shows. Again, on Monday, Pat Green will be here. It's almost sold out, but if you want a ticket to see Pat Green, 5undergolf.com. Doors open at 5, music at 6:30. Pat Green is the headline act. Come on out and see him and have a good time at this great facility that I love being at every time we come out here. We've been talking Astros. We've been talking Texans, NBA, NFL, you name it. We've talked about it. Still got an hour to go in the show, so if you guys want to cover some things with us, come on along for the ride. We mentioned coming to some of the big news of the day. Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, inks a 6-year, $258 million extension to stay in Buffalo. That's a big deal. The Clippers have signed Reggie Jackson to a 2-year deal, as well as re-upping with Kawhi Leonard, waiting for the numbers there on a national perspective. We know from a local perspective, the Astros perspective, they lost last night. They put a spring training B-League team on the field and paid the price and lost 5-3, though they made a valiant effort late to try and make up for it. Fell a couple of runs short. Tonight, Zach Greinke on the mound as they look to right the ship. Unfortunately, as Pat mentioned, Yuli Gurriel going on the 10-day IL as that neck nagging soreness you hope isn't more than just a couple of days more. But he's out, so they made a couple of roster tweaks as they get ready to go. And we talked about this yesterday, guys, and it was a very, very – did you watch the game last night? The Astros?
I watched portions of it because I was flipping back and forth between the Olympics and the Astros game.
Did you catch Enes Cabell on with the boys?
I did not.
Very, very almost uncomfortable, dare I say, couple of minutes. Enes Cabell, a dear friend of J.R. Richard, as we talked about and memorialized reminisced about J.R. Richard yesterday. Nice moment on the broadcast. They had Enes Cabell on to talk about J.R. I commend Todd Callis and Jeff Blum because I don't think there was any way they saw this coming. But Enes Cabell basically kind of let it out that J.R. Richard was dealing with COVID. And that's in part why J.R. Richard passed away. And that was one that I don't think anybody saw coming. Those guys handled it extremely well. And it was I give them, like I said, their due is and total credit. But I don't know that anybody saw that. And there were people asking questions about why and what happened and how suddenly JR passed. That's even more disheartening, saddening than the way it ended for JR Richard.
You know, for a guy who had the medical issues that he had between the stroke that ended his career so prematurely. And however long he was living on the street, we know that that's going to take years off your life. Just very sad story. You know, the peak, the valley, the peak, the valley. He had some just absolutely incredible moments in his life, and he had absolutely horrible moments in his life. And it's just a sad story of what could have been.
We talked yesterday about, for as much success as he had, a dominant on the baseball field, from the stroke that ended his career to living under an overpass in Houston to now passing away of COVID-related issues. At the end of the day, for all the ups he had, my man had a roller coaster ride of a life, and it's just sad that it was ended and cut short this way.
It really is. Now, on another note.
Yes.
Some more breaking news.
Oh, more breaking news from Pat Creighton. Bring it to me.
And this will indirectly affect the Houston Rockets.
Okay.
Kevin Durant is going to sign a 4-year, $198 million extension with the Brooklyn Nets when he becomes eligible for said extension tomorrow.
Yeah, that's big as it relates to the Houston Rockets because of the fact that that pick that they were hoping. Well, maybe the big three experiment goes terribly wrong. KD leaves, Kyrie leaves, Harden leaves, and that pick becomes really super, super high. Not going to happen now.
Nope.
So that's not good news. If you're a member of the Houston Rockets fan base, drinking the red Kool-Aid and hoping the 19-year-old brigade turns it around quickly for Rafael Stone, Steven Silas, and company. But you know what? You kind of expected it, right? I mean, Kyrie's kind of the loose cannon and all that. I think that the insurance policy was James Harden. They went out and did what they had to do because now they're guaranteed they have a big two. And those two guys are at least have enough stability between the ears. You don't have to worry. But you see this thing? You see the story about Kyrie hammering Nike for the design that leaked out of the Kyrie 8 tennis shoe that he said that he didn't see, that he started bashing all over the place, and then people had to kind of go, hey, Kyrie, can you come here? Do you know how much money they're paying you? Do you know what Nike's doing for you? And then a day later, he had to retract it and say, hey, we're working together, and we're going to try and rectify this. Boy, Kyrie can't get out of his own way.
I didn't see this probably means, well, I saw it and I approved it, but I didn't remember doing it, so I'm going to fly off the again, top athlete, stay the hell off social media. But he's such a weird dude with the flat earth stuff and, oh, I need to take 3 weeks of sabbatical because I don't like this thing that happened somewhere else in the country. You can't count on him. I know he's a great player. He is a great player.
No, offensively probably the best handles in the league.
But he is so erratic upstairs and his personality that – you can't depend on him. Could you imagine you're in the playoffs and something crazy happens somewhere in the country and he decides, you know what? I'm not playing for the rest of this series because I'm mad about something that happened. Because he did this to them last year. He just took off 3 weeks.
He took off for personal time. He took off during COVID for a birthday party for his dad and his sister, which caused them to have to put him under the protocols, and he had to miss for that. He's basically dancing to the beat of his own drummer. But, boy, when he dances completely off the beaten path of what the team wants, what the team needs, and he puts everything aside for his own wants and needs.
I think, honestly, I think the Nets are better if they can get rid of Kyrie, bring in a good point guard. They don't have to have a superstar. When you've got Kevin Durant and James Harden, who in normal seasons don't get hurt, those two guys, you can't guard either one of them.
But do you need a point guard pack? Because here's the thing. James Harden brings the ball up. He did it for the Rockets every single night. You almost and when he doesn't, Kevin Durant can. It's almost like I'll give away Kyrie. If I get another player that does anything like a superstar and he's not as big a hassle, he's probably more of a positive than a detriment than what I got right now.
All right. So let's talk a little fantasy stuff here. We'll have full fun.
All right.
If you are Brooklyn and you've already got two of the – maybe the two best scorers in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Would you trade Kyrie for Ben Simmons straight up?
No. No. And by the way, if you're an NBA fan, the rumors right now are the Warriors have talked to Daryl Morey and the Sixers after Daryl had to come off of his high perch of what he was asking for. And there's been discussions about a Andrew Wiggins trade for Ben Simmons. Now, that's a realistic move. But if I'm talking about a realistic move from the standpoint of if I'm the Nets and I'm also the Blazers, I'm talking about Dame Lillard for Kyrie Irving. And now from Portland's perspective. And look, he won't miss the designs because Nike's in Portland. So he'll be able to design his own shoe easier and approve it.
Go hang out with Uncle Phil directly.
But on top of everything else, Portland may not get equal value, but it's more of a Westbrook-Chris Paul type situation than it would be if you're talking about trying to get equal value for a star that doesn't want to be there. So, therefore, you make that kind of move, and you're in much better shape than you would be with a Ben Simmons, who's a project that has to be kind of resurrected.
See, look, the Dame deal, obviously, is that's – if they land Damian Lillard, we don't even have to play the season. I mean, that team would be – just
they played together on the Olympic team.
Ridiculous. To me, it's, hey, if I land Ben Simmons and I've got two elite scorers who essentially can't be guarded, and now I add in a guy who can defend four positions, rebound, block shots. I don't need Ben Simmons to take long shots. I just need him to go in there and harass the other team's best player, play defense, rebound, block shots, be a pain in the ass to the team. If I can get that out of him – Does that make me a stronger team than if I have Kyrie, who's going to play half the games this season and probably a pain in my ass the rest of the season?
I think that, look, from a Portland perspective, it makes sense. From a Brooklyn perspective, it obviously makes a ton of sense that you pursue a guy that gives you less hassles and the biggest chance to win. I already think, regardless of what Kyrie does, they're still the favorite, as we talked about. But I think from a Ben Simmons perspective, there's too much risk for the potential reward. I mean, no matter what he has been able to give the Sixers, for what he's making, he needs to be so much more offensively, and he definitely can't be afraid to shoot the basketball, especially in high-leverage situations like he did in the playoffs last year. For that reason alone, and even if I'm the Warriors, I don't know that I want to roll the dice on Ben Simmons, no matter how good Klay comes back to be and how good Steph is and Draymond Green and company are. I don't think that that's the hassle of a playoff team. That's where Ben Simmons needs to go, in a less high-leverage situation with lower expectations, where he can work on just being the best Ben Simmons he could be.
Does Adam Silver veto Damian Lillard to the Nets?
No, he can't. As long as they make it work under all the collective bargaining agreement rules and regulations, if they make it work within 15%, if they make it work and both teams sign off on it, it's not like when the New Orleans franchise vetoed the Chris Paul to the Laker deal because David Stern was the acting president of the team while it was up for sale. This is under normal circumstances of a league year. If it fits under the cap and it works under the guidelines, you got to let it go.
To me, it's just like the idea of...
I got you on that one,
the idea
I?
Of Dame joining those two teams.
Yeah.
No, and I'm glad that you brought up the stuff about Stern and how he was the acting president. I think a lot of people forget about that. You know, it's funny to me. Like it's a joke. Say, hey, Adam Silver vetoing. You know, people will laugh, or you know, conspiracy theorists might not, but it'd be funny. But you explained it perfectly of why that happened, because I think there's still a lot of people who, oh man, he had it out for the Lakers. Well, he doesn't want that kind of a giant super team. Well, what happens if they try to put like all those type of things? If they allowed Kevin Durant to the Warriors, they'll allow anything.
Yeah, but let's also be clear. That move did the Rockets a massive favor. Because it was the move that allowed you to get James Harden later. Daryl Morey gets all the credit in the world for getting Harden. If David Stern doesn't veto that move, your franchise player is Pau Gasol for many years to come, and you would have signed him to a multi-year deal, and you wouldn't have had the resources, the draft picks, or the ability to do what you did to trade for James Harden. So David Stern did your rear end a favor in Houston.
You would have been the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's exactly, exactly right. So... before we go to the break, Pat, you got a message for the people.
I do. Let me tell you about our friends at carsforkids.org. You know that old clunker you got sitting in the driveway? Doesn't run very well. It's an old car, and you really don't want to put any more money into it. Well, you don't have to fix it. You can donate it to carsforkids.org. They accept all vehicle donations, cars, motorcycles, trucks, any condition, running or not. You get a full tax write-off for your donation, and when you mention ESPN Houston, you also get a $50 Visa gift card. Your donation benefits Houston Can Academies, helping to give local Houston kids a second chance at a diploma. So go to carsforkids.org or call 713-224-4226. That's 713-224-4226. Donate your vehicle, get a full tax write-off, and write off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Out at 5 Under Golf, College Street in Beaumont. Having a good time. Tyler's out there taking some cuts at the Top Tracer double-decker outdoor driving range. Tyler's out there taking some cuts. Some of them he hits really well. Some of them he hits more like me. But for the most part, he hits some pretty good ones.
Now he's wounded. Now he's limping on his way back over here.
Did you pull a hammy?
Oh, you're running. That's your painful looking run. Is that what that is? It was painful for us.
Is the pain in the hammy high in the leg or low in the leg? Is higher in the leg the worst to pull?
I don't know if you noticed, Joel. It's hot out here. I was just trying to minimize.
You've only told me 100 times it's hot out here.
Trying to minimize my
level of activity.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, you're doing a hell of a job of that.
Thank you.
We are out here having a good time. By the way, this weekend, another class of Hall of Famers in the Astros Hall of Fame. I don't think there's anybody that anyone will argue or fight in terms of the latest class. Lance Berkman, Cesar Cedeno, Roy Hoffines, Roy Oswalt, Billy Wagner, Bob Watson. That's a good class.
That's a strong class. And I'm glad to see finally Bob Watson finally getting in. You know, like you said, it would have been nicer if they could have done it a little earlier.
Yeah, I wish he'd be alive to have gone through the ceremony.
I'm glad they finally are recognizing Bob Watson. Astros lineup is out for tonight. You'll be a little happier, not a lot happier. Altuve, Brantley, Yordan, Correa back in the lineup. Tucker.
Is he rested?
Apparently
has
he got
good. Enough sleep? Is he going to be okay?
I
just need to know, Pat.
I don't care as long as he gets two hits.
Because if
I
he's crotchety and he's not going to be effective because he's a little sleepy, then maybe he should sit.
He's batting fourth, followed by Kyle Tucker, Aledmys Diaz, Chaz McCormick, your friend Taylor Jones batting in the eighth spot, and Machete hitting
Where's
ninth.
Taylor Jones playing?
First base.
Yay, team. Okay. I take it Chaz is in center.
Chaz is in
so
center.
So your boy's not playing again. So why is he up?
Mysteries unsolved. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a better lineup. It's a more lineup that represents a team that's tied for the best record in the American League. Are you concerned at all about Yuli being put on the IL?
Not yet.
It's a neck as opposed to a knee or a shoulder or a hand, you know, something that's going to be nagging and more, you know, more long term per se. But neck injuries aren't fun. I don't know if it, you know, to the point of, because I've had them before, to the point where herniated discs are involved or injections or whatever the case may be. I just hope it's less than 10 days and he's ready to go.
It seems like a reactionary move because they backdated it
right.
to the fact that they've been playing with a short bench and you had to play too many guys. You really don't want to play at the same time. So putting Yuli on the IL allowed them to get some better bats up into the lineup. And in this particular lineup, the only, quote, triple-A guy in there is Taylor Jones batting eighth. So if he's going to be the one guy and he's going to bat eighth, I can live with this lineup.
I can too, and I'm okay with it. I think that as you look at that and you're analyzing that, I think that the big thing for me is going to be, you know that Yuli shouldn't be a lingering injury. You know Bregman's coming around. But I think to your point last night, the bigger key was no one was expecting with this lineup for it to become close. And then it was. And then Dusty looked at his bench and went, I'd rather pinch hit for Machete here, but I can't.
Because I had to play him at first.
Because I had to play him at first base, and my other catcher, Castro's already in the lineup. And then on top of that, I looked at my other options coming off the bench, and I'm going, no one coming off the bench. If you want to put the kid in there one more time so he can get another strikeout in a high-leverage situation, he tries to get his first major league hit, it's not going to make sense for me. So I'm just going to roll with what I got. I'm going to take a shot at Machete and see if he can do something for me. I'm going to go with Robel Garcia and see if he can get his final hit in the major leagues before I send him to Siberia. But at the same time, he didn't have much to choose from.
No, and that's it. You didn't have – if you pinch hit for Machete last night, you didn't have another guy who could play first.
Right.
You know, Jake Myers doesn't have any experience in the infield. Chaz McCormick doesn't have any experience in the infield. You already have Yordan in left and Brantley at DH.
And Diaz, Aledmys Diaz is playing third base.
And so you didn't have somebody you could move to anywhere in the infield. When you're down two infielders, when you only have five on the team and you're down two, and you got to play your catcher at first base – you were really limited by what you could do. So part of putting Yuli on the IL is to change up the roster a little bit, give Dusty a little more flexibility, and have, you know, some stronger bats that he can – because Taylor Jones, for everything he is, still a stronger bat than Machete.
Absolutely.
And probably a better first baseman. So not the best upgrade, but still an upgrade. So these were moves almost out of necessity. They have to shuffle around until you get Bregman back.
Where are you on Machete? I mean, that the question I got to ask is, for as good of a defensive catcher as he is, he doesn't look like there's a whole lot of work being done at the plate. And as good as an accomplished as he is defensively, I don't think it would take that much because he shows that he has the occasional pop. He understands the strike zone. I would think that there's still a way that he could become a more effective hitter. I don't know if that's he doesn't want to, they don't want him to, whatever the case may be. But I look at him and go, it's not like he looks like he's hopeless at the plate. I just wish that there was a way that he could improve a little bit offensively.
At this point in his career, he
right.
is who he is.
Right.
He's like a career 218 hitter, you know, coming into this year. He's really never going to hit more than 220. He's got pop mainly because of the short porch in left field, and he's a dead pull hitter. But he's there to play defense, and he frames pitches very well. He handles pitchers well. He throws the ball down to second pretty
I'm
well.
I'm never going to bitch about anything he does
Where
defensively
you see
or
him
handling
defensively
a pitching
with some of his issues is when it comes to how he handles certain balls in the dirt. Sometimes you'll see him, a ball will get a little bit further away from him than it should be. But generally, he's an absolutely terrific defensive player. And they'll live with the fact he's just not – he's three – almost, you know, is he a three-outcome player? Home run, strikeout, walk.
Pretty close.
That's kind of what he is. They've gotten less power but, you know, more average out of Castro. I think Castro's hit – a little better average than people thought he might, but Machete is their number one guy. He's
like
top
I said, I'm not
guy,
trying to hammer him.
But I don't
I
think
like
he's
him.
Ever going to be more than a 220 hitter.
I just look at him and go, at the plate, I see that there's still – I don't think he's too far off from a couple of tweaks and maybe working on shortening up his swing where he could be even more effective offensively. I hate the fact that the bottom of the lineup is what it is, but if we can't find a center fielder that you're going to have some pop from and have some offensive things from – is there a way to get a little bit more out of Machete? Otherwise, it's just basically, you roll the dice and there's going to be a game or two here and there where he hits a long ball. And otherwise, you take what he doesn't give you offensively because he gives you so much defensively.
When they're healthy, they are elite level 1-7. And then 8-9, you take what you take.
Right.
You know, when Bregman is back into the lineup and Yuli is back into the lineup and – you know, the only guys that you're worried about is, okay, these guys might not hit very well, is whoever's in center, be it Chaz or Myers, and your catcher. When they're that, they're the best offense in baseball.
Yep.
Dealing with the various injuries and...
See, Tyler's rubbed off on you the wrong way. Tyler, the fly catcher, the Venus
flytrap. When it's in my face, it annoys the hell out of me.
Now you got Pat swatting at flies, knocking his microphone all over the place.
Fortunately, it's on a stick.
Because the Lord of the Flies over here to my left is trying to keep a count on how many he can knock out of the air.
Well,
four so far for Tyler.
Tyler's got this Mr. Miyagi thing where he uses his hands and he catches them.
No, look, that's the secret. The secret to killing flies... You very sneakily, very quiet. You get up right on top of the fly with your hands a little apart, and then you just clap, and they fly straight up into your hand.
Since we're doing a radio show, that clap isn't distracting at all, since you tried it multiple times.
I've only done it four times. I'm four
for
four.
No, you are not four for four.
Okay, I'm four for five.
Okay, well, you're padding your stats is what you're doing, but that's fine. The fact that you've created a new hobby while you work on a road show is phenomenal.
I'm trying to maintain a great environment for you guys.
Is this a professional environment?
Yeah.
You trying to catch flies?
Yeah.
Is that
it's not really coming through on the mic.
Squash.
Instead of you rubbing off on Trey may be rubbing off on you a little bit.
Yeah.
You're a little too distracted.
Look,
by it. See, here you go again. You got a chance. The fly blends. Now there's another
down,
swing and a miss.
Up, yeah.
Now there's one less in your repertoire that you thought you were going to get.
Pulled
so how about that?
Maneuver.
It looks like a full house on deck right now in terms of the Freddie and Friends because Henry's here. Freddie D is here. Freddie F is here. It's going to be Freddie and Friends. It's going to be a good old show in the 409. Lots of fun today at 5 Under Golf. But you guys should be here if you're in the 409 and have a chance to stop on by. Everybody's going to be here till 7 o'clock having a good time. Back with a whole lot more. 1/2 hour to go in the program. ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 5 Under Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Hey, the man with the deep pipes bringing us back for the final half hour of the program. It is indeed the Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM, coming to you from 5 Under Golf right now. Fall League starting September the 13th. Four guys, 18 holes, top tracer technology, 16-team league. It's kind of like bowling, only more fun. And you get to use your actual golf clubs playing real golf courses in a really cool environment. They're going to have Golftoberfest starting in October. But the most pressing need is for all you Pat Green country music fans, all you fans that want to see up close and personal Texas's own Pat Green. It's Monday night, this coming Monday night, almost sold out, about 200-300 tickets left, 5undergolf.com. It's going to be right here, the stage at the end of the range. They actually use the bays as suites. It's indoor-outdoor, but it's a phenomenal experience. It's a great place. We love coming out here. 5 Under Golf, Chris and his staff, absolutely outgoingly friendly with great customer service. Patrick, you speak for them. You know, Tyler knows because he sampled the treats and he keeps swinging for the fences. It's a fun day, night, or otherwise, indoor-outdoor for golf and other things.
You enjoy the treats, don't you? The treats are good.
Oh, the food here's good. Their quesadillas are loaded up. They're good.
You enjoy the top tracer where I know you were out there with the 7-iron hitting shots earlier and very proud of the distance that you had, which was
not
pretty
proud of it. I was tuning it in for consistency.
You were doing pretty well.
Yeah, I was trying to make sure that the ideal thing with your irons is, and Henry knows this, the ideal with your irons is you hit the club the same distance every time. So what I was trying to do was hit 10 7-irons and make sure they're all in that window of about a 5-6 yard period, 163 to 168. I'm taking it. See, that's what I'm talking about. Henry's a golfer. He knows. Pat, I saw you. You should be a bowler. But that's another story for another day. But it's still that we have fun and we enjoy the atmosphere out here at 5 Under. Tyler swinging for the fences but having some good times, pounding the back of the net. And when he's not pounding flies, he was pounding some golf balls.
He nodded in agreement. He just nodded.
Yeah, yeah, because he's too busy being bored of the flies over here trying to chase down all the insects. So we're going to continue to have a good time out here. We'll wrap it up at 4, and a very special thank you to you, my man Patrick Creighton, for filling in all week with me. He'll be with me again next week as we continue to roll forward and have some fun. Always good to chop it up with you. We wanted to do this for a long time. People are always saying, who paired them up? Why did this happen? I can't believe it. And then, you know, it sounds good now that you guys are together and I'm loving this. Why hasn't this happened? Well, you know what? We've always wanted to do something like this. The chance that we've had an opportunity, not just for one day, but to do it for a little bit of an extended time. It's been a lot of fun.
I'm having more fun than I've had in a while. Easy to work with you. You know, easy to work with a guy who's a true professional, always prepared. This has been fun radio, and it seems that a lot of our listeners have kind of joined in how much they're enjoying us hanging out together as they join us, and we spend some time talking fun on the radio, and we'll get a whole nother week to do it.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good time. And like I said, Fred Fowler's in the building, so Fred's going to be back tonight with Henry Thomas. They're going to have some fun with Henry's perspective, of course, always front and center on NFL with everything with the Texans, Deshaun Watson, and other things, including the new Josh Allen contract with the Buffalo Bills that we mentioned. So lots of things to cover and uncover as we get you ready for your weekend. And then coming out of the weekend, Pat back with me on Monday in the box as we talk about hopefully the Astros winning another series. The Rockets off to a stunning opening game in the Vegas Summer League, and so much more.
I usually don't give a flying rat's tail about Summer League.
It doesn't matter.
I am looking forward to seeing the Rockets Summer League. I want to see the young kids play. Hopefully we'll get to see them playing together.
You would
play.
Think, right? There's 4 19-year-olds. 3 of them are going to be on the team. You don't have anything to lose. You don't have any veterans you need to see. You're not trying to try out any guys that are going to be game changers on the roster.
I am more interested in watching the Rockets Summer League team than I was in watching a single Rockets game this past season. More into the Summer League.
I'm with that. Look, I mean, the fact that it was one thing that everybody's worry and concern was to get that second pick overall. The fact that they got their guy at 2, and now he's going to be front and center for the first time, I think more people should want to see that. I think it is. I'm not going to say it's must-see TV because it's summer league basketball, which in itself encourages you to do something else. But because it's Rockets summer league basketball and you're the number 2 pick in the draft is going to be on the floor, I want to check it out.
Look, I know they wanted Cade Cunningham, and if you could have gotten him, great. But do you feel like there's some monster drop-off between Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green that you would have then given up more assets to get? Or conversely, the fact the Rockets were able to get a fourth first-round pick, you know, when they move up to get the kid from Turkey, is that – to me, I feel like you got more value by doing what they did than if they had tried to move up for the purpose of getting Cade Cunningham.
Well, as I said all along, look, at the point that you're at in starting a rebuild, it's more important to gain as many assets as you can, not give them away. And especially when you're only moving up one position for a guy that may or may not be as or more talented than the guy you have the ability to draft. So the fact that if there was this insurmountable difference, say it was LeBron James at number one, and it was someone like Darko Milicic at number two, now I might be more enticed to say, I'll give up one of my veterans to get a second first-round pick so I can give that away along with my pick to get to the top spot. But if I'm only moving up one spot, and there's no real definitive separation between these two guys. One guy played 1 year of college, one guy played in the G League, but that doesn't make me believe any further one guy has a sizable advantage over the other. They both have things to work on in their game, and they're both incredibly young. I'm fine exactly with the way they handled it. Like you said, giving up two future first-round picks that are protected enough that you're not going to be worried about giving away the farm because you don't have that many first-round picks to give. You're in a position where you got four 19-year-old kids that can all grow up and develop together. And you hope that they all hit. Not all of them have to be superstars, but if they all become role players and members of your rotation in a couple of years, you've done your job if you're Rafael Stone.
If you get one star in Green, and then you get, you know, the kid from Turkey becomes a good player, and the two kids you took late are role players, rotation guys.
We know the Nigerian kid playing for Spain in the Olympics is going to be your defensive stopper. He's going to be the guy you go to. You put him on other guys. You've seen it across the league with different guys on different teams. For lack of a better term, he's a Patrick Beverley type guy where he's just going to be a pest hounding whoever the other team's best player is on the wing or in the backcourt. You know the kid from Turkey analytically was the best player in the draft. What that tells you is he's a big man at 19 that already has good footwork, is good around the basket offensively, and may turn into your starting center someday. But the other two guys are the guys you're banking on. One's a more sure thing than the other. Green's going to be a guy that has all-star potential, and Christopher is a guy that has all the tools, but he just hasn't put it all together yet.
If you can teach some of those guys to shoot, and we've seen guys come into the league, can't hit the sink from the shower, have a couple of years here, and now they can hit. If you can teach a couple of these guys to shoot just decently, they don't have to be elite shooters, but can you be a league average shooter and play that kind of elite defense? All these are all picks that work out, and this becomes a franchise-altering draft for this team. Joel literally came within a quarter of an inch of ruining Tyler's day.
Not just Tyler's day. Fred is very particular about how the cleanliness of a table when left for the show-to-show transformation. When there's the 400-meter relay, when you hand the baton to Fred, there are certain expectations. That table better be clean,
it can't
it.
Be all clammy
yeah,
when you
hand
it off.
You can't be leaving half-eaten baskets of food and half, you know, consumed beverages, and you certainly don't want to leave a spill on the table. I'm not worried about Tyler. He's still over here, Lord of the Flies, trying to catch insects. I'm not going to worry about the Venus flytrap. I'm going to worry about the Elder Statesman. So we're out here at 500 Golf. We got one segment to go in the show. Then we're going to turn it over to Fred and Friends as Mr. Fowler takes us through the evening portion of the program from 4 to 7. If you're in the 409, you know how big everybody that listens to ESPN is on seeing Fred Fowler live and in person. Come on out and see us at 500 Golf. Say hi to him, Henry Thomas. Lots of people are going to be in and out. One half of the greatest couple in Beaumont, Lauren Pope, is in the building waiting for Aaron to show up as well. I'm sure that, you know, not quite the same kind of papal energy over in Europe, but when the Pope Mobile arrives, people do pay attention. That's all I can say in the 409. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at New Breaks. Look, I've been telling you about them for quite a while. It's like grocery shopping. Why do I want to go to the grocery store and shop for an hour and waste an hour of time to get my groceries home and unpack them and do all those things when I can get them curbside and save time? Time is money. You're saving money every time you do it a different way where you can do other things. That's what you do with New Breaks. You go to nubreaks.com. You set up that first appointment. When they come to you, you're going to realize they'll come to your house and do it and fix your brakes in your garage, in your driveway, where you're doing other things. You may be cutting the lawn. You may be drinking a beer. You may be watching a game. But you're not sitting in a waiting room watching bad TV, eating vending machine food, trying to figure out how long you're going to be at the mercy of some guy that really doesn't care about your brakes. These are skilled, certified technicians, and all they do is brakes, and they come to you to do what they do. If you want them to do it at your work, they'll come to your office in your parking garage while you're at your desk doing your work. They're doing your brakes. They did it for me at the ESPN studios a few weeks ago, 45 minutes or less, in and out, doing everything that they do. All they do is brakes. Price is competitive with brake shops, and they save you the time along the way. Check them out for a 10% discount when you mention ESPN 97.75, but go to nubrakes.com. That's newbrakes.com.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from 500 Golf Center in Beaumont. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
All right, back for the final hour of the program. I mean, final segment of the program. Taking you up till 4 o'clock on the Press Box. Pat Creighton, myself, Tyler Scott. The promo team is here. Alex with only one arm, but plenty of free things to give away still. If you guys want to get some free goodies with ESPN 97.5, stop by and see him as well. 409, we love you in B-Town. So stop by and see Fred Fowler and Henry Thomas, as they're going to do the show till 7 o'clock as well. Lots of opportunities to mingle with the Blitzers, the Boxers, and so many more. Am I allowed to still say that, Tyler? Because people still aren't good. They're going to disown the name just because you tell me that I can't call them by the show name anymore. I mean, I can still call them Blitzers, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was just told.
You're the one that's always policing.
I was just told it was no longer the Blitz, so that's okay. It.
All right, so we're following protocol. Pat Creighton here with me. News of the day, we mentioned Josh Allen signing a big extension with the Buffalo Bills. Kawhi Leonard going back to the L.A. Clippers. Kevin Durant now latest to sign on the dotted line. If you're a Rockets fan, you were hoping those picks would have more value and be higher up in the draft because the Nets are going to pull the plug on the big three and none of these guys are going to re-sign. Well, that's probably not going to happen, as Kevin Durant plans to sign a four-year, $198 million extension to stay with Brooklyn. That means the picks, not so high. The Rockets' expectations, not so good.
Isn't this something we talked about yesterday with the NBA salary cap not projected to be going up a whole lot over the next couple of years, that players were going to be more likely to sign extensions than go to free agency because technically they can make more money on extensions, especially your high-end players, the guys who are eligible for supermaxes and stuff like that. They make more money to stay where they are. Why go on the market where the caps are going to be flatter and it's going to be harder to build the team around you when you can stay where you are, go over the cap, make way more money, and then if things don't work out, you demand a trade, and then the teams have to figure out the salary issues. It's not really your problem. More and more guys are going to be signing extensions because right now it makes a lot more money and more sense with the state of the cap going forward to do that and just bitch your way out if it doesn't work than to go out on the market open and take less money and hope that you can put it together.
But let's also be honest. No one's losing any sleep or crying over the amount of money that's still out there for NBA players. If Danny Green's way over the hill ass can get 2 years and $24 or $25 million. Kelly Oubre gets 2 years and $25 million. Patty Mills getting $6 or $7 million a year to be a backup point guard role player. The money in the NBA is great. If you're a max player, it's phenomenal. But even if it's not, you're still going to make one hell of a living. And all you're doing is going out and playing basketball. It's not that hard.
No, but again, we're talking about the high-end player, right? The high-end players are the guys who are now not hitting free agency. They're just re-upping. If you can get a good role player or a good secondary player, 2 years, $20 million, that's still great money for that guy. But the idea being your Giannis's and your KD's and your Harden's and now your Kawhi, these guys are not going to hit the market over the next couple of years because
Steph got
the cap's not doing much.
If you re-up with your team, you get the most you can possibly get. You get 4 years and $215 million if you're Steph Curry. I mean, and we're talking about on top of an Under Armour deal in which the shoe deals are paying them so much money that the guys that are on the top of the food chart are just the rich getting richer. Harden, KD, guys that have these multi-million dollar shoe deals, in a lot of cases, they've got a soft pillow to land on even if there is another stoppage in play. They're not worried about it because they're making almost as much money from their shoe company deals.
You're talking about Steph, though, with 215.
That's an extension of what he's already made.
52 and a half million
a year. Dame Lillard did the same thing, 50 plus a year.
And KD's about to get 50 million a year. Now I'm really interested to see what the Kawhi contract is because guys are hitting 50s. Remember, we were talking about, you know, James Harden and Russ being like 44. These guys are hitting 50 and north of 50. What is Kawhi going to get?
But that's what I told you. If you're Kawhi Leonard, instead of hiding behind the quiet motif of I'm just a quiet guy, I'm not a pot stirrer or troublemaker, actually, you're going to be sitting out a full year, and you're going to make them pay you $40 million plus.
Sure is.
That's a dirty move.
KD got paid to sit out. They're going to pay me to sit out. That is all that is.
And
I
again,
can do it,
that's
too.
That's what I'm talking about when I'm saying guys watch and see what other guys do, and they realize everybody needs the silver spoon, and they need to be catered to and coddled so much more than toughen it up. The days of Tom Brady are over with. I'll take much less if you make my team that much more. Those days are over with now. Everybody's getting their piece. As you said, everybody's getting their bag.
You know what? Always follow the money. Every time they say it's not about the money, it's about the money. When they say it's about the money, it's really about the money. Always about the money. Speaking of money, mm-hmm. NFL makes the most money, mm-hmm. and there was an NFL game last night. Did you watch any of Pittsburgh and Dallas?
I tried. Their commercial breaks were longer than long. I mean, every time I flipped over from the Astros game, I'm like, okay, am I going to see a glimpse of football, or I'm going to give a rat's ass because I'm not waiting around this long. Because as much as it was a B-squad lineup for the Astros, it was more entertaining than any kind of football I saw, especially when you already knew Big Ben wasn't playing, Dak wasn't playing. I saw a little bit. I saw enough. I didn't really care. I told you, if a tree falls in the woods and you're not there, did it really fall? If the Hall of Fame game was played and no one was watching, did it really happen? And does anybody really care? Because I didn't. It was awful.
16-3, and look, I understand. You know, Garrett Gilbert was the leading passer for the Cowboys, and Mason Rudolph, the leading passer for the Steelers, two guys that we know aren't NFL quarterbacks. I had zero interest in watching this
game. Dwayne Haskins played. He looked a little better than Washington. Is that really saying a whole lot? Ben DiNucci, who's got a really funky delivery, threw a couple of balls decently for the Cowboys. But, again, we're not even in full week one mode of preseason. Who cares?
Ben DiNucci sounds like somebody who was on, like, an all-kid show out of Canada way back in the day. It was a Degrassi
sounds
High.
Sounds like a guy that wants to sample some Frankie's Italian Kitchen. That's all I know. He's the guy that's going to tell me, hey, you know what? The pasta's good. The pizza's great. It's a phenomenal place.
Dwayne Haskins was 8 of 13 for 54 yards. He averaged 4.2 yards per attempt.
Well, you know what? He's a game manager now.
Yikes.
He managed the game when he was in there decently enough. But again, like I said, who cares? Until you start seeing real regulars playing the game. And I saw a Twitter battle going on between Damian Woody and Mike Florio last night. Because Florio was hammering how the game shouldn't even have been played and how it was irrelevant and no one was really playing. And Woody's like, come on, man. There are guys fighting for jobs out there. This is a situation where people need to pay attention because it's a big-time thing for these guys. And it went back and forth. I'm like, are we really doing this? It's preseason football in week one.
Anything to talk, anything NFL. Yeah, there's probably guys who are fighting for jobs. But the game being televised, the average fan, we're not here to see who's fighting for jobs. We're here to be entertained. We're here to see good football. Good football was not played last night.
No, but if you're in a market like the Houston market and you realize you can watch Astros baseball and there's something better to watch, you're in good shape. If you're not in a market like that or a market with other teams to watch, it was the Olympics and beach volleyball, or it was the Hall of Fame game. It's not great.
I would have taken the Olympics and did, in fact, take the Olympics over this Travis Sham mockery of football.
I'd rather watch a beach volleyball contest in which a gold medal would be given away at the end than I would a Hall of Fame
Americans.
Game. Yeah, a Hall of Fame game in which there is no outcome that matters to anybody as long as everybody didn't get hurt. It's that simple.
If there is a medal event and it involves the U.S., beach volleyball, whether it's track and field, team sports, individual sports, if there is a U.S. participant in a gold medal event, I'm watching that if I can. And I know there's a lot of people who, you know, you can't find the events or the events are only streaming. I have the Peacock stream, so, you know, I bounce back and forth.
You
between,
love your Peacock?
I love it. I love it because I can bounce back and forth between different sports.
Your Peacock?
They're on different streams, so you can hit your Peacock on different events.
So you're a
events.
Big fan of the Peacock.
Big
you
fan of the Peacock. Love it.
And you're all about the Peacock.
The only one I don't like is avoid the one that says AD because that has this extra audio that's just really annoying.
So if your Peacock has AD, it's almost as bad as VD?
Yeah.
Well, there you have that. All right, Tyler
Driving
Scott.
Driving nuts.
We appreciate you. Patrick Creighton, we appreciate you. And the band will be back together next week as we give you another week of the Press Box as we continue to get through the month of August. And you know, as if you've been under a tree or not, you know that big changes are coming and announcements will be made. And Monday will be a big day in the big city of Houston, Texas, as it relates to Gal Media. But in the meantime, there's more shows to do and more things to happen. So that means that Fred Fowler's coming up next. And Fred and friends are going to join you guys out here in Beaumont at 500 Golf Center, where Henry Thomas is going to be front and center. They're, I'm sure, going to be talking some football and other things, having some fun along the way, and you guys can participate as well. Want you all to have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. Hopefully the Astros get a series win, and then we'll be back at it on Monday. So until then, it's Fred and Friends next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.